Welcome. A quarter of the Bundesliga is now in the books. Borussia Dortmund let a 2-0 lead slip in Frankfurt, despite what Hans-Joachim Watzke says. Are the Schwarz-Gelben in crisis? Cologne and Werder Bremen are still winless on the season after playing to a draw. Are both teams headed towards relegation? And Bundesliga clubs continue to struggle in Europe. Can German teams keep up with the rest of the continent? This is Tribuna Weekly. Dave Svinopterp here with Jonathan Harding. Jonathan, take us through the match day.
German Federal League Division 1. Match day 9. Football Club Schalke 04. 2. The First Football Club of Mainz 05. 0. Lawn Ball Sport Leipzig 1. Club for Agility Games Stuttgart 0. Club for Physical Exercises Prussia Mönchengladbach 1. Bayer 04 Leverkusen Football 5. Sports Community Frankfurt United 2. Ball Games Club Prussia 09 Dortmund 2. Football Club Augsburg 1. Hanoverian Football Club of 1896 2. Hamburger Sport Club 0. Football Club Bavaria Munich 1. The First Football Club of Cologne 0. Sport Club Werder Bremen 0. Sport Club Freiburg 1. Hertha Berlin Sport Club 1. Club for Physical Exercise Wolfsburg Football 1. Gymnastics and Sports Society 1899 Hoffenheim 1.
All right, Jonathan, I think it's pretty obvious what the biggest shock of the weekend was, and that was Dortmund conceding a 2-0 lead to Frankfurt and drawing with Frankfurt 2-2. Now, a lot of the media here in Germany have been very critical, saying that they're in crisis. And Hans-Joachim Watzke, the club's chairman, came out in Revier Sport and said, essentially, he doesn't understand why people are saying that his club's in crisis. And I think he kind of has a point, because his team is still top of the table. And sure, they're going through a rough spell right now, but they're also going through an injury spell right now where their defense is completely in shambles.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. I don't think people have recognized, or maybe it's easy to forget, the number of injured players in that situation. You know, on the weekend, they were without Socrates, without Toprak, and without Schmelzer and without Piszczek. You know, that's effectively what could be a starting back four right there. So they've had to makeshift a few things, and that's why Julian Weigl playing centre-back and Bartra playing right-back is a bit weird. But I think while the injury thing is still valid, I think the bigger issue is that it's so easy to score against Borussia Dortmund at the moment. Obviously, you have the Roman Bürki question marks, right, that have come back in the last week or two.
Despite his contract extension.
But that's, you know, we all know why that is. That's clever marketing, make him feel good and, you know, give him the vote of confidence. That's fine. But defensively, if you're still susceptible to a ball from a centre-back that's pinged 40 yards in the air, that's a problem, you know. And the way that Dortmund play is so high because Bosch wants the centre-backs to be involved in creating that play high up the field. That leaves a lot of gaps. And you saw it on the weekend against Frankfurt. You know, they were able to expose that. I mean, it could have been a 4-4. I mean, Nuri Sahin, my favourite quote of the weekend, I looked at the scoreboard after, what was it, an hour, and said 2-1. I was 25 minutes left. Blimey, this is going to be a wild one, you know. And that tells you everything you need to know. Maybe Dortmund have gone out on this attacking first, defending later strategy. But that's not working for Liverpool, is it? You know, same strategy, same problem. Attack first, worry about defence later. Sides who haven't got their balance right, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you saw this kind of play under Pep Guardiola, Pep Guardiola's Bayern, I should say. Pep Guardiola came out and said in his book that he actually is very defensive-minded. Yeah. But his defense is just much higher up the field than most teams. Now, it's not that Borussia Dortmund aren't necessarily a pressing team, but I think that they're not maybe as good at it as Pep Guardiola's Bayern teams were.
Definitely not.
And maybe there's not enough, I cannot say this for sure, but maybe there's not enough emphasis on winning the ball back immediately when you lose it, which is part of the point of having players so high up the field. And we heard quotes earlier in the season that Julian Weigl said that Peter Bosch wants him to play higher up the field.
Yep.
And if you're going to do that, you have to win the ball back.
Otherwise,
you're
going to be exposed.
Exactly.
And that's what we saw on the weekend. And, you know, the concern is that if they do that repetitively this season, they will get caught out. If an Eintracht Frankfurt side with Marius Wolf scoring his first professional goal, is that correct? Yeah. If that happens against Frankfurt, is it any surprise that it's already happened against Real Madrid and Tottenham? You know, two of the best sides in Europe at the moment. Yeah, and if Dortmund do advance to the Europa League, or if they somehow miraculously make it to the knockout rounds of the Champions League, which I don't think they will, but they're going to come up against even better sides, and they're going to be made to look even worse unless Peter Bosz comes up with a plan to deal with this defensive strategy.
Now, this is kind of weird to say this about this team because they had played so long without allowing a goal in the Bundesliga. Now, of course, they allowed the three goals against Tottenham in the Champions League. But that was also, I think that was also because Omar Toprak was making his first start for Dortmund.
And they didn't really deal with the Aubameyang goal not being given. And
yeah, so, yeah. I mean, there are some asterisks to that performance. But my question here is this a form regression or are teams starting to figure Borussia Dortmund out?
That's a really good question. You've got to look at the summer as well. You know, bringing in seven major players, I think. So you've got a new head man, you know, a new head coach. You've got seven new signings. You've basically lost your star player and your number one playmaker in Ousmane Dembele. You've given Christian Pulisic a senior role already at 19 and said you are the man in the attack now, basically behind Aubameyang. Marco Reus is still injured. Mario Götze has been very good, quietly doing an excellent job, sitting a little deeper. Nuri Sahin is playing. There are enough players there for Dortmund to be playing much better than they are. I don't know whether it's a case of player regression. I think new head coach and new styles takes time to adapt. And you've got to bear in mind, everyone was raving about this Dortmund side after five games because, you know, Bosz was this revolutionary. But actually, it comes back to the same point that I like to make maybe too often, is that expectation in the media is ridiculous. And then that's where I can potentially side with Vatska because, you know, two or three weeks ago, Bosz is a hero, and now he's the wrong man for the job, you know?
It is his first season, and we also have to
give him time.
And we also have to keep in mind, too, that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has played every minute except for five in all of Dortmund's games this season.
That is a big problem, and it's one of the perhaps the least spoken about problems, that Borussia Dortmund have no replacement or even competition for Aubameyang. Yeah, Maximilian Philipp has been fantastic, and Yarmolenko has been really outstanding, but they're not the same player, and they're not even playing really in the same position.
Yeah, I think a lot of people might ask, well, those players have played striker before, why can't they play striker for Dortmund?
Yeah, but
ask Peter Bosz that question, because he has not played either of those players except a little bit of Yarmolenko. He played next to Aubameyang, but besides that, neither of those players have been given the confidence by Bosz to play alone in that role.
Absolutely, and you have to ask, that's a concerning state of play. We've talked about Bayern and their dependency on Lewandowski in attack. Maybe we should be talking a bit more about Dortmund and their dependency on Aubameyang. You know, it's the same issue, because if he doesn't play, can Dortmund figure out how to play going forward? And if this side can't attack, which is the number one strength of this side, because their defense is a real problem, then they're going to be left looking really, really embarrassed.
Now, speaking of embarrassment, Magdeburg is a side that they were going to play in the Cup that has embarrassed Bundesliga teams before. I mean, they've taken Bayer Leverkusen to penalty kicks. They have taken Eintracht Frankfurt to penalty kicks, and they beat Augsburg two times in the past 4 years. Now, is this the kind of game that Dortmund can regain their form, or is this one that their bad form is coming at a bad time?
I think this is a potential banana skin. I really do, because if you're Magdeburg, you've watched so much tape on the last two or three games on Borussia Dortmund, and you know exactly what you need to do. And Marius Wolf said it after the game. He said, we watched that Dortmund made those moves from their defensive positioning, and we just knew that we had to play a few long balls over the top to get in behind them. I mean, that's a quote that you hear in the Sunday League behind the pub. Oh, we just had to play a few long balls to get in behind them. We're talking about Bundesliga level here. You know, how is someone saying that of another side? And that's the problem, because if Frankfurt can do it, then Magdeburg can definitely do it. And Dortmund have to be careful. You know, all you need is a slightly dodgy pitch, an early injury, a keeper who has a blinding couple of saves, a missed penalty, and then Magdeburg score a set piece and some 20-yard wonder strike, and you're in trouble. Right, so one thing that happened this weekend was there were an awful lot of penalties. But in the one game that could have done with a penalty, there wasn't one. And we have to talk about Cologne versus Werder Bremen. You know, it's the most important game of the weekend. Both sides haven't won going into the game. Both sides haven't won coming out of the game. And this is despite the fact that Seiru Guirassy had the ball at his feet 3 yards out. And I think the best way to describe it is, I think Dominic Moreau said afterwards, yeah, I can't believe it. We're even clearing the ball away from the opponent's goal line now. How stupid is that? I mean, yeah, he hits the nail on the head, and it must really hurt if you're a Cologne defender and you see that happen so late on. The biggest problem for me about this game, apart from the fact that it was abject in quality for 88 minutes, is that it starts to pose the real question, how bad, or you know, how good, however which way you want to look at the argument, are these two teams? Augsburg and Hannover, two sides that before the start of the season, lots of people said, nah, definitely, and I'm one of those people, they're definitely going down. Augsburg, definitely one of those teams that I said, going to be in relegation trouble, haven't really improved the squad, not sure about Baum.
Mainz too, actually.
Mainz, another one. Sandro Schwarz is really making it count there. And you're looking at these teams, and how is it that a Cologne side that was defensively strong has now conceded 17 in 9 and, you know, was so good on the counter-attack, now can't hit a barn door? Okay, you have the Modeste argument. That's been, you know, rolled out a number of times. It's still valid, but it's not the only reason that Cologne aren't playing well. You know, what's going on? I think Peter Stöger has to take some responsibility. Absolutely. I feel like some of the players haven't necessarily taken that step on. The European hangover is an issue. I know you want to get to that. But for me, it's also a case of underperforming. It's not just player regression or bad form or whatever it is. It's just underperforming. You look at both Cologne and Werder Bremen's team sheets and you say these two sides are way better than being winless after 9 games. And Werder Bremen's the same issue. You know, Alexander Nuri, they didn't really bring anybody in. And this is a coach that everyone was raving about at the end of last season because they nearly got into Europe.
And by the way, they lost Serge Gnabry.
Okay, but I mean,
which he wasn't playing at the end of the season, but at the beginning of the season,
absolutely,
he got a lot of important points for
them.
He
did, but towards the end, they managed to play really well without him. So I feel like they'd made that transition. And yet they haven't really added anyone over the summer. And here we are talking about Nuri potentially being fired 9 games into the new season because they play such poor football. And understandably, you know, within the very small window that managers get now in football, he's got not very much time left before he has to prove himself. You know, is it just that they got rid of Claudio Pizarro? Well, no, because he got injured in the warm-up for Cologne. So you're left in a really awkward situation. And I think it's about time that we start saying, right, you've got no excuses now, either side. They have to start to take a look at how bad they are. Because if Augsburg and Hannover are in the top, whatever it is, 8, 10, and you're winless. I mean, if Bremen had won this game, which they nearly did if Rausch hadn't cleared it off the line after Guirassy's miss, Werder Bremen or Cologne are a long way back. And dressing room, belief, 9 games mentally, that just absolutely, you got to get over the hurdle at some point. And this was an opportunity to win a game, ugly, just win it. Even if it's a deflected elbow that goes in off a corner, doesn't matter. Neither side did that.
I'm more worried about Werder Bremen than I am about Cologne, I think.
What makes you say that?
Because when I've watched Cologne this season, it seems like in a lot of cases they were just unlucky. I mean, Yuya Osako has been actually decent. He hasn't been like pretty good as he's supposed to be because he's supposed to also help with the fact that Anthony Modeste isn't there anymore. But I think that with Werder Bremen, the fact that they aren't playing in European competition, the fact that even though Max Kruse is hurt, they have not progressed to another level, and the fact that they also had this opportunity a few weeks ago in Hamburg where they could have taken something from the game, they didn't. Now, if you're not winning those results or getting something more than a point out of those results, then what are you doing? Those are the teams that you're competing with with relegation. And if you're not beating them, then you're not going to have a chance to stay up. Case in point.
Yeah. Questions have to be asked in those situations.
I mean, I don't know if Alexander Nouri, his football ideas are not necessarily the best. But we talked a lot about last season that he makes a lot of individual players better. Now, I'm very curious to see if Max Kruse comes back into the side consistently, how much pressure is taken off of players like Thomas Delaney, who then has to basically manage everything in midfield, or even someone like Finn Bartels, who is also a very seasoned Bundesliga player, let's not forget. But he's not a player that can lead an attack. Now, every other player that they've put into attack has not been up to snuff, but that's been the case for a long time, which is why Finn Bartels is still one of the best players on the team.
Exactly.
But I think that Max Kruse, I think when he came in last year, he's a player that does a lot of things by himself. And since he can create by himself, that takes a lot of pressures of a lot of other players that don't necessarily have to create a chance for him.
Absolutely. I mean, Thomas Delaney is a prime example of that. You just named him. You know, he's had to carry the flag all on his own throughout this entire period. And that's just, you know, that's a real struggle for him, because he is a talented midfielder, but he can't do it on his own. But that's where you have to ask the question that we were just talking about. How good is this Werder Bremen side? Not very at the moment. And it's as simple as that. And I, as much as I agree that Cologne, with their European hangover, perhaps have been a bit more unlucky, you spend 17 million euros on a guy that's not worth it.
Well, he's also injured now.
True, but even when he wasn't, it wasn't looking like a sensible move.
Yeah.
And even at the time, you know, Mainz are the only real winners in that situation.
I will hold Cologne to definitely accountable, because I think we gave him a lot of credit for Anthony Modeste.
Yeah.
But we also they also paid a decent amount of money for Cologne for Seru Guirassy, who looks like an absolute flop.
Yeah.
Played a lot with the reserves last season, even though they paid multiple millions to get him.
Yeah.
And then you look at John Cordoba and the fact that he has looked completely out of his depth, which is strange because two seasons ago he looked like he was a player that could play in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, it could make the jump, but that's where you have this sort of spreading of a lack of confidence. You know, if a man, the star striker that you signed, doesn't score goals, and then you're in a team and he's in a team that doesn't win games, then you've got a striker that doesn't score and a team that doesn't win, with a defense that can't defend, and players that you bought for millions that don't produce. I mean, this is a combination of things that are putting a lot of pressure on the team.
Yeah. I mean, you look at also the fact that Jonas Hector, when there have been defensive frailties in Cologne, Peter Stöger has locked things down, put Jonas Hector in midfield, and was able to restabilize the team. And now that Jonas Hector is injured, that's a huge stabilizing part of your team that's not there. Now, of course, you shouldn't be relying on those kinds of players if you're a team that is trying to compete in the Bundesliga. But Cologne is a team that's not really has never had a lot of squad depth. So when a player like that gets hurt, it really, really hurts the team. Now, Peter Stöger, also, it's his responsibility to compensate for that, and he hasn't done that. But you also have to look at the fact that when Jonas Hector comes back, I think he'll bring a lot of stability there. And maybe, I mean, we're not counting on Cordoba to do anything fantastic, but just to have another player there that has had success in the past would probably help. But yeah, a lot of questions will be asked of Peter Stöger, who's had, I mean, basically made a defensive wall in Cologne. And now that wall's broken, and he doesn't have a plan B.
No, he doesn't. And he's in his third or fourth season now? You know, he brought them up, he got them promoted, and then they ended up being in a position where everyone was like, well, they're really boring because they draw 0-0 all the time. And then they solidified, they survived, then they grew into a mid-table team. Then they make it into Europe. It's this perfect graph of how to develop a team gradually up the table and gradually in stature in terms of, you know, modern achievements, because Cologne are a very famous club in Germany. But are we reaching the point now where Peter Stöger's message isn't getting across anymore? Because it feels like 10 games nearly played, no wins, 3 goals. It's obviously not just him, because we've talked about individual performances of players as well, but it's a valid question.
All right, building on the topic that we just discussed, it's very interesting to me to see the fact that Cologne, Hertha, and Hoffenheim are all in Europe for the first time, some in the first time for a while, and they're all struggling, whereas teams like Schalke and Leverkusen, who were perennial European Bundesliga clubs, are now actually doing really well and rising up the table quickly. Now, to me, I think this raises a bigger argument, which is, are Bundesliga clubs capable of playing in European competition nowadays? Because we've seen the record in Europe for a Bundesliga club is pretty well known now. In the second match day, none of them won. And Hoffenheim got their first win on match day 3. Dortmund still haven't won in their group. And RB Leipzig also got their first win on match day 3. So this is, to me, that's a big red flag for Bundesliga teams. Now, in terms of coefficients and all that stuff, people are putting a lot more weight on that than actually matters, because next season, the four teams from the top four leagues are going to make it. And Germany has been well ahead of France for a while. So it doesn't matter if they fall behind Italy. It doesn't matter if they fall behind England. It just doesn't matter. But European teams that have spent a lot of money that haven't worked out before, but now are starting to pick up steam, like a lot of teams in England, like some teams in Spain as well. That's the worrying sign for me, because the Bundesliga has not competed with these clubs financially for a long time. And if they can't compete with them on the football pitch anymore either, then Bundesliga clubs are in real trouble.
But I think a few years ago, English clubs had this similar situation, and I know it's well documented that they could never get it done in Europe. And there was this feeling that they were always behind Spanish or Italian or German sides. You know, you only need to look back. I remember Manchester City not getting out of the group once. I think that might have been the Dortmund group the year that Dortmund went to the final. I can't remember. But I think there's a feeling that, you know, sometimes English clubs, and this is maybe a kind of an example of the world that we live in, that the memory is so short term. But I don't think it was that long ago that English clubs were in a similar position where people were saying, or even in a worse position where people were saying, oh, English clubs spend all this money but can't get it done against European teams.
But the difference is, I understand the point you're making, but the difference is that I don't think Bundesliga clubs are close to spending as much as English clubs are.
Not at all. But we also know that the value being spent doesn't necessarily represent the value on the field.
Of course not. But there are a lot of Bundesliga players, and a lot of these Bundesliga teams have trouble holding on to their players.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Hoffenheim was qualified for the Champions League, and they lost their two best players.
Yeah.
You know, Leipzig are going to lose one of their best players.
Or their best player,
and some people would say, in Naby Keita next year. So even Leipzig cannot hold on to their best players.
No, but I think the astronomical fees in England, that's definitely a contributing factor towards life being harder for European clubs on the continent. But I don't think that's necessarily in correlation with the success of teams in Europe who buy those players. It's harder for German teams because sometimes they make it harder for themselves. You know, you have to, I think there's a certain level of underestimation of other sides in the Europa League. You know, just because they're playing a team in the Ukraine, you know, doesn't mean that they're a bad team. You know, there's this expectation that Hertha will go there and win because they're Hertha Berlin. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean anything in these situations. I mean, we only have to look at the Europa League a few years ago. The final was Sevilla against Dnipro. You know, who actually thought that Dnipro, who even knew what Dnipro was? You know, and here they are playing fantastic football.
Many probably thought it was a sponsor.
Yeah, exactly, right? They pushed Sevilla all the way. And I think there's a certain level. That's what makes the Europa League quite exciting in many respects, although there's far too many games. But it's harder. You know, the Champions League is very Super League focused in that sense. You know you're going to get your Juventus's, your Real Madrid's in the semi-finals, really, you know. Whereas in the Europa League, you don't. Now, that's not an excuse. I think the performance of Hertha and Hoffenheim and Cologne hasn't been anywhere near good enough. But in Cologne, we've talked about their issues. You know, if confidence is down, then that European adventure is already a problem. For Hertha, they had this thing where they could never really get in. It's like they were invited to the front of the party, but they couldn't get inside the front door. You know, they kept failing in the qualifying stages, and now they're in. And they are also a side that is very hot and cold and has some good players, but isn't necessarily the best team. I do think Dardai knows what he's doing there, but maybe there's a certain level of underestimation there. And then you've got Hoffenheim, who I was shocked that Julian Nagelsmann didn't get better results and show better performances in the first two games, but then got the win in the third, and maybe he can turn it around. But
the thing is, with what I see domestically in the Bundesliga, is that the teams that have European competition the last 2 years especially have really struggled for consistency in the league. Now, though, and now, of course, things are very cyclical, and it could be very, very well be that Schalke will be back in Europe next season, and then we'll be able to
talk about Schalke being bad in the league.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting was that just a few seasons ago, all four German teams were in the round of 16 of the Champions League.
Absolutely.
Now it doesn't seem like
they're anywhere near it.
They're anywhere near reaching that point as a league, as teams progressing together in one competition. And I'm just curious, this is a trend that I'm very curious to follow, because if teams struggle domestically when they're in Europe, maybe it's just going to be eventually too much for German teams to play in Europe and play domestically when their best players are being bought every single season.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose their best players, I think it's difficult to play full stop. In many respects, teams like Schalke and Leverkusen maybe they needed the chance to reset. I mean, Leverkusen's entire identity in the last 10, 15 years is built off the Champions League. You know, they need that recognition and that money to be able to be that team. You know, I still think they're the third biggest team in France, you know, in terms of attention, because of the run with Ballack and Zé Roberto and that team. But looking at the fact that they're both playing better now, Schalke and Leverkusen, without that European pressure, suggests to me that the coaches in their positions are capable of doing what they're doing now. And if both coaches do make it into Europe and they do stay on, then both of them are entering never-before-entered fields. And that has to be taken into consideration. From a Dortmund and Bayern perspective, and Leipzig, if you look at the Champions League, you know, that's what's so impressive about Leipzig. They've never been there before, and their managers never played teams like Porto before. But they are getting, slowly, the result. And they actually look like the one side in the league that's capable of dealing with that triple competition, because they've just won four on the bounce in the Bundesliga. So,
but they're also the one side in the league that doesn't have to worry about the same financial things that other Bundesliga clubs do.
Sure, but absolutely. But Borussia Dortmund bought seven players this summer, and they made an absolute, you know, buck and a half off Dembele departing. And Bayern Munich are never one side to lack the funds if they want a player.
Of course, no. But I think that there's now a tier.
Oh, there's been a tier in the Champions League for a really long time.
But now there's a. I'm worried about the tier below the top, because the tier at the top, I think we could have. I mean, Bayern and Dortmund have competed on multiple competitions for many years. Even when they didn't qualify for the Champions League, they still made it very far in the Europa League and still had a really good season domestically. I'm worried about the teams like Hoffenheim, who are still trying to establish themselves and do have other financial advantage that other clubs do, but I mean, could lose their manager in the next 1 to 2 years. Could continually lose their best players. If they can establish themselves in that top tier, or whether there will be kind of a glass ceiling there for anybody that's not Bayern, Dortmund, or Leipzig.
I think the problem is that there's quite a lot of mediocrity in the German league, and I think, or inconsistency is perhaps the better word. You know, you look at the top three, Bayern, Dortmund, and Leipzig at the moment, and they are a considerable class above anybody who follows that. Hoffenheim have impressed recently because of Nagelsmann's coaching style and his ability to get a young and no-name team performing well and above expectations. And then you've got Gladbach, Schalke, and Leverkusen, who are kind of the three perennial chasers in the chasing pack. And they are either in Europe or out of Europe, or, you know, in the Europa League, and then they lose in the quarterfinals to Fiorentina or whatever it is, you know. So I think the problem is that you've got a big gap between the top three and then the chasing pack. And then the rest of it is just miles off even the chasing pack. So, you know, Schalke against Augsburg or Mainz or Hamburg, there is a huge divide there. Sometimes that can change in the Bundesliga. But if those sides then took the place in midfield and then ended up in Europe, then they start to be exposed for what they are because they haven't got the depth or the ability or the intelligence to play at that level. Mike, you know, Wolfsburg is perhaps the best example. A few years ago, they beat Real Madrid with Julian Draxler, and now they're struggling to get a point at home against Hoffenheim. You know, and that says everything that you need to know about the warning signs for this league, because what the Bundesliga doesn't need is sides like Wolfsburg to come in, to do something for a year, to disappear and then come back 5 years later. They need people to be consistent. I'm not saying that there needs to be a block here, a block here, and a block here. But
we're also, I mean, I'm also talking like other leagues don't have this, on the continent, don't have this problem. I mean, France has basically two teams now, PSG and Monaco, that are even competing for the domestic title and that can make it past the group stages of the Champions League. And also, you look at Spain. I mean, Spain has had two teams forever. They had a third team in Atletico Madrid that seems to be falling off now. But the difference that I see is that, and well, then they have the tier below. But the difference that I see is that they kind of have that second tier
that's consistently
in Europe and doesn't have to necessarily sacrifice their league form as much as they would as other teams.
Well,
in
Sevilla,
the Bundesliga
are the best example, you know, was a triple Europa League winners, right?
And we also can't say for the Bundesliga that the bigger fixture list is the problem, because the Bundesliga plays four less games than every other league in Europe.
So just
adding six more may almost makes it more even than anything.
I think that there it's a very interesting thing to follow, and you can ask the question, where is Germany's version of Sevilla? Is it Gladbach, Schalke or Leverkusen? You know, and well, none of them, because they haven't won anything, but
they're all not in Europe right now.
But you need to follow that argument, because you need someone to step up and be that, because there's a lot of talk, and there has been for years, about a lack of competition in the Bundesliga. You know, and Bayern running away with it. And as much as if Matt Ford was here, he would obviously be giving everything that he could to explain why Leipzig are bad. But in terms of a competitive sense, it's been positive for the league. Obviously, we all agree on the origins of the club and how that's negative for the game. But in terms of adding a certain level of competitiveness to the league, that's been a huge boost. Dortmund's rise, excuse me, in the last few years has been a massive positive for the league. But after that, you've got stories like Wolfsburg, who are up and down. Then you've got Hoffenheim because of their head coach. Then you've got Gladbach, Schalke and Leverkusen, who are sometimes good, sometimes bad, but they're either in or they're out for a couple of seasons, and then they think about getting back in, and then they go out to Sevilla.
Now, of course, this broad topic could be made even broader about 50+1 and stuff. We're not going to get into that. But I wanted to ask, I'm worried about it because obviously this is my topic. Are you worried about the fact that there is no second tier that's consistent?
It's a big problem for the league. You know, Gladbach, Schalke and Leverkusen, I think, are the clear long-term second tier teams in the Bundesliga. But they've established themselves like that. You know, Gladbach has great history. So does Schalke's got great support. And Leverkusen have that memorable season where they lost everything in the final. And yeah, they've been able to bring some good players over in the last 10, 15 years. But what you need is to start converting that consistent group stage quarterfinal appearance record into wins or into finals, you know. And what needs to happen is that Gladbach, Leverkusen or Schalke need to make it there. You know, Schalke nearly did it last season in the Europa League. Just couldn't get past Ajax. Should have in that game. Should have won that game. Gladbach, similar sort of problem. They do well and then suddenly it's the quarterfinals in the Europa League and you're thinking, wow. Or they get a horrible group in the Champions League and there's no chance. And Leverkusen had that opportunity where they suddenly made it out of the group and they were playing Atletico Madrid, I think, and they lost on penalties. You know, there are moments there where the fate of a club and the direction in which they're going can really change. And all three of those have gone the wrong direction for German football.
All right, that'll do it for this week's Tribuna Weekly. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and make sure you leave a friendly review. You can also like our Tribuna Podcast Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Tribuna Podcast. You can follow Jonathan Harding at JohnBlog66, 2 G's and 2 6's, and I'm Davis_VanOptorp. Before we go, here is our stat of the week. Thiago and Corentin Tolisso hit the woodwork in Bayern Munich's 1-0 win over Hamburg. That means 11 of their 177 shots this season have hit the frame of the goal, tops in the Bundesliga. Maybe the football gods want a new Bundesliga champion. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you next week.